Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job or your deodorant or your lunch or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.
For a minute. For the love of God, stay away from the dipping dots. Move to the music, play. Music, move it to the music, yeah.
Acknowledge me.
Gentlemen, welcome back to the DWI podcast. My name is PC Tunney. I am the artist formerly known as Pizza Funny. DPP, out on assignment this week, folks. So, no greatest tag team never. But we do have the funky, phenomenal trivia trickster himself, AJ Belaz.
Yes, we do. Fresh out of work. Fresh with a cup of scotch.
He's ready to party, folks. But always. Me and AJ are not alone. We have the soundbite-less best friend of show. DP has that soundbite.
Damn him.
Aw, Dave, you're still my best friend.
Oh, you're my best friend.
It's a duet. Nice. Nicely done, AJ. What's happening, fellas?
Welcome, my friend. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Yeah, DJ's out, or DPP's out buying Lego stuff, isn't he? He's breaking the bank.
No, he's
probably
he's on work trip, so he would rather be here doing this. I can guarantee you that.
Oh, I guarantee you. He's probably like, oh man, kind of wish that I got some bullshit trivia and talk about Summerfest 2024.
SummerSlam. Yeah, we got a good show though today. Big SummerSlam to review for you guys. A almost equally big Monday Night Raw after SummerSlam was really solid. A little bit news pertaining to the announce booths as well, and we also have trivia. So that's your big show sheet this week. What we're going to do right now is we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the shakeup and the new hire for the announcing teams for Raw and SmackDown. When we come back, Dave Ungar, AJ Belaz, and PC Tunney right here, DWI 443 on Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head and head on over to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back. DWI 443, Chairshot Radio Network, PC Tunney, AJ Belaz, DP out on assignment, best friend Dave Ungar along with us here today. I don't have a bell to ring, so ring, ding, ding. Let's get it going.
AJ, man, I'm just watching video of Norwegian female pole vaulters.
I've heard they've...
It's quite something.
Yeah, I've heard they're quite something to look at. AJ, you seem not pleased about the hire of Joe Tessitore and the fact that he will be moving to SmackDown. He'll be moving to Raw and Michael Cole back to SmackDown. I haven't heard it confirmed who's going to be working with who, but I would imagine that Graves will be working with Tessitore.
I would hope so, because I don't... Let me go full Kevin Nash here and say I don't have a problem with Joe Tessitore at all. I haven't had any problems with him ever. But I don't have a problem with the fact that Tessitore is going to be on the announced team. I'd never really had an issue with him on ESPN or anything else. So that's more Aesop had the issues with him, not me. It's just who his foil is going to be, who's going to be next to him on the commentary table, where I'm hoping it's Graves.
It's got to be, because Cole and McAfee are like an item, basically. They got a bromance going on.
They're basically JR.
Tessitore needs more experience than McAfee has to offer, and Graves has all of that. So I think that'd be absolutely perfect. What do you think, Dave?
Or even put Wade in there, too, because Wade's a good... He's good, but I get what you're saying, where
Hey, Wade,
but Graves better.
Step into my office. I've got some bad news. Dave?
I'm hoping that it's Jesse the Body Ventura on commentary. Now, that would be...
Well, Jesse only came back because he saw if CM Punk can come back, well, then the Body can come back, apparently.
That's right. That's right. I think, like you're saying, Cole and McAfee staying together make a lot of sense. So it would put Graves and Tessitore together on SmackDown. I'm looking around the announcing kind of like the teams and stuff that they have, and it's not going to be Booker. Wade would be cool, but I don't think it's going to be, and certainly not Vic Joseph.
Could be a three-man booth. Could be Tessitore joining Wade, but I don't think it should be. I think I like Tessitore. I've always liked him when he's doing things outside of baseball, basketball, and football. He's a guy that needs to be outside of those most mainstream sports in America because the energy that he brings. And I like it. Like, this is a weird comparison, but dude, if you ever watched an episode of Holy Moly, he is fucking awesome. He is great working with Rob Riggle, who's a guy out there doing his shtick, doing his character, doing his bit. Well, whoever he works with, the color commentator has a little bit of a shtick, and he's really good working with that. So I'm excited. I think it's a great hire. I can't wait.
Yeah, it should be good. I mean, they've had some mixed results with people from the outside coming in. That's for damn sure, right? True. I mean,
well, what you call it?
You know, like,
what's his name from American Gladiators?
Mauro. Like, well, I don't know about that, but like Mauro Ranallo's the one that I look at and say,
Adnan
God,
Burke.
He was so good at, huh?
Adnan
yeah, that
Burke.
Guy.
I thought that was okay. He was better than the dude from American Gladiators. What was his name?
Well, that's Jimmy Smith. Was that?
No,
not Jimmy Smith.
The white guy with Mike Adamley. Holy shit, that was horrible.
Oh, fucking Adamley.
Yeah, see?
God.
I knew you'd get that
Harvey.
Reaction. Jeff Harvey.
Can we get Steve Harvey on commentary?
Oh, they didn't get enough money for Steve Harvey. Steve Harvey's fucking making bank, bro.
Yeah, but
I'd like to see that.
It would be nice to see what Tessitore can do, just because his range can go from like Mauro Ranallo, who had the boxing background and a little bit of the New Japan for Americas on Access TV, or we could get a dud like you said, Mike Adamley or Mark Madden.
Like
God.
Mauro was fantastic in NXT and just never fit in with what Vince was trying to do on the main roster. Because, frankly, because I don't think he believed in any of it. He believed in black and gold. But, you know, yeah, Tessitore should be. I mean, he's got the right voice. That's for sure. So with Corey there to kind of guide him by the hand, yeah, why not?
We'll see. We'll see. I when I heard the news, I wrote it down right away. So I wanted to talk about it because I think that's pretty big. This isn't happening till September. So I don't have the exact date. Possibly the, what is that, the second, so 9th or 16th? I think maybe 16th sounds familiar, but
The other thing that does come up with all of it is also Pat McAfee usually does College Game Day as well, so he might just not show up, and it could just be Michael Cole and whoever else on SmackDown.
Well, if they're going to still do pay-per-views on Saturday, that might be an issue.
He, I mean, he could, but that's another thing where,
yeah, but he just,
you know, we're in August.
He'd do Game Day that one Saturday a month, and then he'd fly out and go to the pay-per-view.
Yeah, it's possible, but I also know, like, when Game Day happens, usually he takes, like, a wrestling sabbatical until, like, Royal Rumble.
So you're thinking maybe that's what's going to happen?
That might happen as well. So whenever college football starts kicking off, you might not see McAfee for, I don't know, 4 or 5 months.
Possible. I would put Barrett with Cole then.
Yeah.
Cole's been enjoying his job again. So he doesn't have an angry man yelling in his ear, apparently. So,
Michael Cole gets
you stupid enough. Motherfucker! I told you not
push
to
the damn network, you fucking idiot!
You can't just say Extreme Rules. You got to say the horror show. It.
I know
rules,
this
fucker.
Topic is over once we start doing Vince impressions. So let's get into SummerSlam. I have been quoted.
Wait, you want to see a Vince impression?
No,
let me shit on
the
floor.
I was waiting. I was trying to avoid that.
Let's see what Brock Lesnar can do.
So, now I have categorized this as maybe a top five SummerSlam of all time. How do you guys feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, it was a damn good SummerSlam.
I mean, AJ, you just wrote that article about your three favorite SummerSlam.
It might boot off the number three slot. So, because it was a lot better than old Brock Lesnar had a tractor, EIEIO. but it's definitely up there. Like, there's not a single match where I'm just like, okay, so this is the piss break.
See,
this one's the piss break.
I mean, I'm not going to go and say, yeah, this is better than 91 because it wasn't. But it was damn good. Top five? Yeah. Yeah, I could see saying top five. I mean, you had all the right elements. Title changes galore. You know, dramatic moments for sure. Big time returns. All this other stuff going on. So, yeah, I don't think that's hyperbole, Tony. I would say top five all time. Yeah. I can smoke a, as Platt would say, I could smoke a bag of that.
There's seven matches. Take a look at each match individually and think about the one match with the least amount of history between the two people was Gunther and Priest. Every other match has like over 6 months of history between each other and some of them like years. So, I mean, it's like you said, the title, I loved it. I loved it. Let's get into it. We're going to go right in order. We came out and we told you Liv's probably winning, and she did, Dave. But we had the huge... I've never seen a heel turn heel again. Like, a big heel turn even healer. He got heelier-y.
Yeah, it's like, you know, last year where Jay wasn't feeling very oozy, Dom wasn't feeling heel enough, so he got heely. You know, that sort of thing. I mean, I had said my speculation was that, you know, Tiffy would cash in this match, preserve everybody and all that. But I like what they did better, which I think we all kind of suspected. Maybe Dom's in with Liv on this thing. And they sold it really well. They set it up so well. Well, like, you know, Rhea wants to hit Liv with the chair. Dom grabs it from her and he's explaining, you're going to get disqualified. You know, you're not going to win the title that way.
Mm-hmm.
Only to fuck her over after all. It was brilliant stuff, and it's awfully hard. Like I shared, you know, we saw all the tweets from people. It is really hard to turn heel when you're already a heel. And somehow Dominic did it. And that's a testament to what a douche nozzle this guy really is.
AJ.
Yeah, I.
There you go. There's the title for your episode. Dom Douche Nozzle. There you go.
Dom the Douche Nozzle. Sailing away from the douche leak in his douche canoe.
I already have a title. I already have a title.
But, I mean, that the match was so good where Rhea had the pop shoulder and she looked like a badass, putting it back into place by smashing it against the announce table. And even Liv selling that where she's like, oh shit, I didn't think about that. Oh, fuck, I'm dead. And like you said, Dave, that the big twist and turn where it's like, no, you can't use the chair. You'll get disqualified. You won't get the championship. Distract the referee and slide the chair in. The only problem I had with the match was the cameraman fucked up at the end of it and had Dom with his shit-eating grin as soon as that happened. Because it's like, well, yeah, he just turned on Rhea. And then you just made it obvious that he turned on Rhea because you have him with the shit-eating grin instead of just like, oh, what's going on? Pick Liv up, give the biggest kiss ever, and get some chicken tendies and catering right after. I don't know if anyone saw that freaking tweet, yeah. But he had like three plates of chicken tenders.
Yeah. She gets me. She gets me, yeah. Chicken tendies for the win.
Well, guys, one would say Dom lives for chicken tendies.
Lives, you know what he lives for, right, Tony? You want me to say it? He lives for dead ass.
What can you say? It's a nice one. I'll tell you that much.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I thought it was a good match.
Jersey water.
I thought it was a well-produced match. I think Liv comes out looking great. Rhea comes out looking strong still, and we just continue the storyline even further now.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to give Rhea the title right back. I mean, after everything she's been through, make her chase. Make her work for this a little bit so that when she does break through, it's an even bigger moment. Hunter knows long-term booking. And, I mean, he's really good at that, at playing these things out, stringing these things along, and usually, more often than not, making the switch at just the right time. And you saw that repeatedly at this SummerSlam. So I got no problem with them doing it the way that they did it.
Yeah, I don't have an issue either. That was well done, well orchestrated. Made sure that the revenge tour for whoever you want it to be, either Rhea or Liv's revenge tour, still, because we'll talk about
it's Chick-fil-A's revenge tour for you.
Yeah, but like that was a damn good match. It's continuing the story. It's making sure everything goes forward with that. So you're gonna see a lot of Rhea Ripley trying to beat the shit out of Liv. And I'm pretty sure we are all for that.
Our next match of the night, shortest match of the night, Bron Breakker defeating Sami Zayn to take that Intercontinental Championship. So today I'm browsing social media and I don't know, somebody's tweeting like wrestling quotes that live rent-free in my head. And it's all the Solo Sikoa I hate math kind of tweets from 2013, 11 years ago when he was a kid.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, somewhere down the road, there's got to be a Bron Breakker and a Solo Sikoa feud where Bron Breakker goes Steiner math 2.0 on Solo Sikoa. I mean, he hates math.
It's bad enough they did it in NXT, and I know that they played with that, but I don't know, that's funny. I also did see those tweets where Sol was just like, I hate math, I hate history and math, and then just, I hate math like three more times.
What do you feel you're going to see from this IC title run here, AJ, from Braun?
I think you're not going to have as dominant of a run like Gunther had with the IC title, but you're definitely going to see Bron Breakker just dismantle a bunch of people. I love the fact that they made it so the last match that they had for the championship was, it looked like Bron was still green and he was trying to learn through it. in this one, he's just like, no, I'm just going to outpower Sammy. Screw it. I'm just going to dismantle this guy so I have his championship. So I want to see where maybe, like, he still does, like, the destruction. He's still running rampant and everything else, doing his 23-mile-an-hour spear against the ropes and everything, moving the entire ring. I want someone who's a little more, like, of a veteran try to dethrone him, maybe around, like, WrestleMania or a little before that, maybe even the Royal Rumble. But I'm seeing a really good Reign, and I'm seeing him just kicking names and taking asses.
I want to see, like you're saying, have Roman challenge him for that Intercontinental Championship just to see them spear each other at 23 miles an hour in the middle of the ring and, you know, an implosion or some, you know, some something where the ring just collapses as these two guys just crush each other. That'd be fun.
I mean,
Roman, of course, is not going for the IC title.
I could see Roman defending his championship when he regains it against Braun at some point.
If he regains it, you should be saying, sir.
At some point. You don't think he'll ever be champion again?
Oh, he will.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I didn't say, like, this is happening immediately. Probably WrestleMania.
No, I agree with AJ. I don't think you're going to get a 666-day reign out of Braun. But you're going to get a sizable, maybe like a one-year sort of thing, perhaps.
You think
so? I think he's got the tools and he's got the credibility to go on a long run like this, you know. And I mean, I expect him, he's going to, what, like, we know he's going to defend against Sammy in his 2 out of 3 falls match. Then I expect him to go on to Dragunov. And then you start looking at the landscape and say, okay, after that, who's out there who might be, you know, somebody that, you know, the guy who I keep looking at that's in waiting in the wings and, you know, when, how they get this belt off of him to bring him up. Obafemi is the guy that I'm looking and saying, give me Obafemi and Braun Breaker at like WrestleMania 41 and they can tear the house down. But you got to figure out a plausible way to get the belt off Oba.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. It feels like he at Femi down there is having one of those runs that's going to turn into him and the actual NXT champion going, oh, well, I've made this title more legit than you've made, you know. We get to that point at some point.
He's going to have to lose it in like triple threat, fatal four way, something sure. Where he doesn't lose. And then they can move him up. But yeah, I mean, you know, when you look at the crop of guys who've come up from NXT and Oba's one of these guys, like he hasn't been in the business but a year. And it's like,
crushing it.
Okay, this guy gets it.
The second of four title changes, LA Knight defeats Logan Paul. Machine Gun Kelly came out with Logan Paul. Pretty good way to get more booze.
A choice.
Yeah, if you want to seem more like a dick, that makes sense.
L.A. Knight, AJ, he's your guy. What are we going to see
from him?
Put
the shades on. Come on, AJ, put them on.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Don't worry, Dave. We don't have any views.
I know.
Yeah, no, that's true. We don't have any views, so let me talk to you.
There it is, yes.
Fucking guy.
Good old LA Knight saying that he's going to stomp a planet-sized mud hole into Logan Paul's ass. And what does he do? He brings out Machine Gun Kelly just so he can get a little more heat, just so he can look more like a douchebag than usual. Yeah. Legitimately, though, I think I saw someone said it. I don't remember who it was. I don't remember if it was in the Chair Shot group chat that we have or not. But Logan Paul came out in Browns gear at Brown Stadium. You know,
yeah,
for a God-given
that
fact.
Was me.
Yeah, you know, for a God-given fact, he's losing this match.
Yeah, yeah, there's
no Brown ever has won in a Browns
jersey. As soon as he did that, I'm like, oh, you're fucked, man. It's all
The only thing that would have made it better, but he's not a heel, would have been LA Knight dressed up in Ravens gear.
Yeah, or Steelers gear.
Because he is from Hagerstown, Maryland.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But it was a damn good match.
Or no, LA Knight should have come out with like John Elway in his corner or some shit just to really stick it to them.
Oh, man. But it was a damn good match. And I'm going to vomit a little bit in my mouth here, but I have to give Logan Paul some of his flowers because the stuff that he did in the ring during that match was actually incredible. Like the corkscrew moonsault to the outside to hit. He was talking to Undertaker on Impulsive, and he was like, "There's no way I'm doing that ever again." Like, I had to have the referee go wipe
with his arm,
to make sure the oil was not oiled up. Yeah. So it, like, I got to give him his flowers, but you knew that those damn brass knuckles were going to get involved. Apparently Machine Gun Kelly had to get involved. I thought Kevin Owens powerbombing him like 3 years ago was enough, but apparently not. But we got a new United States champion. So, U.S. champ. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good match. I mean, most of us, I think, had LA Knight going over and taking the title. You know, I've seen some stuff online suggesting that originally they were going to have Logan Paul win and stretch this thing out, but then Logan Paul made some dumb comments about the Algerian boxer, and they said, "Oh, we got to get you out of here for a while." I'm not sure if I buy that. I think the title change was coming anyway, and I'm not sure it really matters. But like we said on the preview last week, LA Knight's earned it. You know, he's put in all the work. He's done everything asked of him. He's put everybody over that he can. He's persevered through everything. I mean, Bray Wyatt, you know, that whole thing with him and then surviving Bray's death and coming out on the other side of that as kind of like the de facto, I was the last one to work with Bray, therefore I had the biggest connection to him, and kind of riding that a little bit and not. But, you know, Hunter, to his credit, does not give these immediate payoffs. You know, Vince would have pulled that trigger right away. Hunter says, let's stretch this out. Let's make this mean something when it actually happens. And it meant a lot for LA Knight to win the United States Championship. So, yeah, it's a matter of like, okay, who's going to work with now? You know, what's going to happen with the U.S. Championship? Logan's going to go away for a little while. But I agree with AJ. You got to give Logan Paul all the credit in the world because he puts in the effort. And like AJ saw about that interview with Undertaker, you watch that interview. Logan Paul is a student of the game, and he's respectful. And he's like, when you watch that interview, he's listening intently. His eye, you know, it's barely blinking as he's listening to Undertaker talk to him about, here's what's going on. You know, these stories matter. And this is the thing that I'm going to go out here and say. This is what the people of AEW don't get. The fans, Meltzer, the wrestlers, they don't get this shit. When the story's good, you don't have to put your neck on the line like these fucking guys in AEW do every single time they go out there. Because the problem with AEW has never been the roster. It is this notion that if you tell a good story, none of this other shit matters.
Well,
and
you talk about AEW too specifically and the wrestling. It's like, because you brought up that guy, and none of the moves mean anything.
No, you can do as many flips as you want. You can try to do as many impressive, and it's not just flips. It's like some impressive feat of strength or an impressive feat of athleticism. That goes a long way, don't get me wrong, but it only goes so far. Where,
and when you see it every week, how much, you know, how much goodwill, how much credibility do you get? Like, I've seen Will Ospreay do this exact same fucking maneuver 25 times. Oh, now I got a guy on the other side of the ring who can do it 23 times. Who gives a shit? I've seen this before.
It's funny because they won't sell their necks getting broken in the ring, but they're all always fucking hurt.
Exactly. Yeah. And then, again, giving Logan Paul his flowers. Let me make sure I take a freaking anti-nausea pill after that. But
pumps.
Like, he even knows doing that corkscrew moonsault, doing some of the moves that he does, he'll immediately say, it's like, I'm never doing that again. That was one in a million. The reason why Pat McAfee's not back into the ring is because he almost fell during a springboard against Corbin, where he's like, I was petrified, where I looked at the referee and I went, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And just jumped. So you haven't seen Pat in the ring since Corbin, because he's like, he's doing all this impressive stuff. Yes. Don't get me wrong. Impressive stuff looks nice. But to what you said, Dave, where it's, if you do this impressive stuff week in and week out, it loses its luster. It's not impressive anymore. It's just part of your shtick.
It does. And there's an expiration date on all those moves. Sooner or later, you're going to fuck up on one of those. It's going to happen. And when you do, you're going to get hurt. So it's great that Will Ospreay can do this 25 times flawlessly. I take nothing away from him for that. But that 26th time where it doesn't go right. That's the problem. And, you know, like Logan Paul said, I won't do that again because the margin for error is too small. And Taker's like, yeah, but, you know, it's out there. It's on film. You've done it once. So now people are going to be saying, well, when are you going to break that thing out again? But when he does, he says, I'll never do it again. We know he will one day when the time and the moment is right. It'll be a big deal.
Yeah, it's much like AJ Styles, and this will be the last thing, and then we'll go to the next match, obviously. But it's like AJ Styles with his corkscrew move that he had, the spiral tap, where he did like a complete corkscrew and he landed on his back. And then after a while, he's like, I'm not going to do this again. His last world championship in TNA, he pulled out the spiral tap to win. And it's just like, this is hurting my back a lot. I'm not going to do it again. This was just something special to try to put an exclamation point to make sure I get this win. Like, have we seen Logan Paul do the halfway across clothesline springboard with Ricochet or anyone else other than the Rumble?
Like, we've seen Cody do the vertebraker once, right? Once.
Yeah, and we shit bricks when that happened. It was like, he broke out a vertebraker?
I mean, I'm still waiting for somebody to get pal-driven. I figure that's going to happen sooner or later, so they're going to break that out one of these days.
It needs to be someone that's protected. It needs to be like a protected person, like CM Punk or something, to add emphasis.
Yeah,
to
Drew should pile driver Punk. Now that would really get people talking.
He should not. No one should be pile driven on WWE television. Let's move to the next match. As I snuck a little porn reference in there.
What?
Huh?
Where?
Pile driver? never heard of the pile driver? No, we got to move on. Speaking of pile driver. No, come on. One more time. Nia Jax defeated AJ's losing it. When I pop AJ hard, it's a good one. It's a good one. Look at him.
God,
he's got
damn
it. He's got to hold his glasses.
You're talking about somebody's hole here, Tony.
Oh, pile drive that hole. Nia Jax defeated Bayley to become the WWE Women's Champion. I thought this was a good match. I was happy for Nia. I look for a nice title reign from her. I think this is the title change that lasts the longest. I think Nia holds this title to WrestleMania. I think you can maybe the big, bad Nia, and maybe Charlotte finally gets a championship at WrestleMania. LOL. Dave?
No. Not going to happen. I'll tell you exactly why. Because this alliance between her and Tiffy is not going to last. Tiffy's going to cash that thing on her. Cash that in on her sooner rather than later. I don't think you can't hold back the wave that is Tiffany Stratton right now. You can do it for a little while, and it's cool that she's got an ally, and Tiffy and Nia together. Yeah, that's a lot of power and you know, skill that you can, you know, work with. But I just think, you know, by the time you get to Rumble, maybe to Rumble, I could see at some point, you know, who's Nia Jax going to go against, that sort of thing. Who's a credible threat to her? Somebody she can work with, who you say, okay, I mean, maybe if Raquel Rodriguez was going to come back or something, but I don't know if that's in the cards.
Charlotte.
Yeah, Charlotte's probably, you probably won't see her till, she might be like a entrant in the Rumble, surprise entrant or something in the Rumble. I could see that, but I'm like looking at the landscape. Yeah, who does Nia Jax work with right now? Who's out there that you'd say, yeah, that'd be a good match, you know? Becky seems to be quasi-retired or something like that.
I think Becky and Seth are trying to have another kid.
That's why Seth is hurt.
Well, if you can take time, Becky's like, untimed sabbatical, right? Like, take your time, do what you need to do. We'll talk to you when we talk to you, you know. But yeah. I it wouldn't, you know, like, what is she gonna do? Wait 5-6 more years until her career is over. Like, she probably wants her kids to be closer in age. She probably doesn't want to be 50 something years old when her, or 60 when her kids, you know, are going to high school or whatever. So I don't know. I just think that's where that's at. That's kind of what I thought before WrestleMania, but then she stuck around.
I hear Seth is a sex addict, so that doesn't help either.
Where did you hear that? You know, I don't want to know. Dave. I don't want to know. I don't want to care.
I heard it from DJ from the Mindless
Khaled?
Wrestling Podcast.
Oh, okay.
You definitely heard it from DJ Khaled.
And another one.
Another one.
Oh, yeah. We the greatest.
Oh, God. But, I mean,
Gatorade.
Shut up.
You ever seen that fucking YouTube clip where DJ Khaled's putting on the green and he sinks like a 20-foot putt and he turns around, he pauses for like 5 seconds and all he says is Gatorade?
No, I have. Okay. I have, sadly enough. But I agree with you where this should be the longest out of all of them. Without, like, to, like, WrestleMania or something. I'm not 100% sure off the top of my head for that one, but I could see, you know, when in doubt, Charlotte out. That's always a tough one to do. Another one, you could try to have her step up to Bianca Belair. Bianca, you know, the EST, the strongest, everything else. What I think, and I hate that my brain is going to it just because she's not impressed me at all, is I can also see Jade Cargill making an effort to this championship just because they had the history.
Business. Yeah, exactly.
They have the history back at the Rumble where Jade just solo annihilated.
Yeah, but aren't Jade
they're both on SmackDown.
And they eliminated each other from King of the Ring tournament. Oh, no, Jade got disqualified because Nia was fucking with her daughter. So, yeah, there's
phrasing.
Not that way. She was just harassing her daughter, not sexually, just verbally harassing her. So yeah, I mean, I could definitely see, like you're saying, AJ, Jade and Nia I would be interested in seeing how that worked out. And, you know, Jade winning the title, I would not rule out completely, depending on how she looks in the whole thing.
I mean, she already looks like $1 million when it comes to being in the ring. It's just if she actually acts like she's $1 million in the ring, that would be, you know, they have a gold mine. But it depends, because she hasn't done anything really since losing the tag titles. So maybe she's training, getting better. I could see her possibly, I'm not saying she will, possibly winning the Women's Royal Rumble, and that's her ticket to getting into the championship picture. But
I mean, Bianca hasn't been around either.
That's also true. So, I mean, that could also be another thing as well, but I don't think there's going to be a repeat Women's Royal Rumble winner for a little bit. But I never say never. I just still think maybe Jade, if, you know, they clean up a little bit of the act and everything else, maybe she might get it, especially since we were talking about, you know, storylines and everything. Gunther and Damian was the only one that wasn't like a 6+ month thing. You got a story already built in from the Royal Rumble last year. And so you can definitely make a claim here that Jade could be next in line to be the next WWE Women's Champion.
Yeah, you can definitely make those claims. The thing is about Jade is when is she going to be ready to actually be in a main event and not, you know, look like she's lost on her own. I hate to say stuff like that, but, you know, anytime in the past few times she's had to do something where it's extended and she's responsible for part of it, it hasn't gone spectacular. I'm not saying it's all her fault, but who knows? A lot of time left for that. Didn't they have a match for the titles on SmackDown? Did they win?
Who?
Didn't they wrestle Fire and Dawn on SmackDown?
They didn't win the titles.
Oh, they didn't. They won, though. Didn't they win that match? I think they won
by a count-out or disqualification or something. Right. I don't know.
I could see that being a rematch at Bash in Berlin here coming up. All right, we'll keep it moving. Drew McIntyre defeated CM Punk by pinfall with Seth freaking Rollins as guest referee. I think the favorite part for me of this match was this week getting to see some of the footage of Seth and his point of view, where you couldn't really tell while you were watching it, but he was basically telling these guys when he was going to look away, and he was asked, is this illegal? And he's like, yep, go ahead, or something like that. I thought that was really fun, Dave.
Come on, Drew. You've never beaten anybody with an overhead suplex before. Come on. Says, hey, I was down there for that one. You know, he kicked out it too. Come on, you can hit him harder than that. You know, and like him getting on Punk. You can just leave. You can retire. You can just leave the company. No one will care. Just
The three of these guys.
The greatest referee job of all time.
Behind closed doors where no one can take a picture of them or whatever, and no one would dare tell any story if they'd seen anything or heard or were in the midst. But behind closed doors, these three guys sit at a table together and count their fucking money and laugh and smile and joke with each other all fucking day.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I imagine the three of them are having an unbelievable amount of fun with this whole thing. And I mean, and it's a good testament to the thick skinnishness of all three of them, because it's a pretty flagrant, flamboyant, nasty shit being said and done to each other. And they're all cool with it. Cause like Tony said, they are laughing their ass to the bank because
shit walks, you know, and money talks.
But you know what's amazing about this feud and this match is how the focal point of this match weren't the three guys involved. It's a 50-cent plastic fucking bracelet. That is the focal point of everything. And that's brilliant storytelling right there, that you can take this little teeny nothing, seemingly nothing, and make the everything revolve around that, to the point that, you know, Punk GTS is set and that changes everything around and yeah, we're heading for a trilogy of matches. And, you know, that idiot fan all those months ago said, we need Hell in a Cell, Drew and Punk. And Punk said, you don't do that with the first match. You're right, you don't. But the third one is the charm, and it looks like we're heading there for Bad Blood.
This is the difference, like we talked about, between WWF, yeah, originally, between WWE and not just one company that you think I'm going to say, but all the rest of the companies. This is literally the real life version of chess, and everything else is checkers.
WWE is playing three-dimensional chess. Yeah, everybody else is playing checkers.
That shit Sheldon Cooper made up on the Big Bang Theory that he always kicked Leonard's ass in because Leonard couldn't even fucking figure out what the fuck he was talking about.
Right, right. I mean, there's a lot of fourth-dimensional thinking going on. Hunter and Sean are thinking way ahead of each other. NXT is doing a lot of the same sort of stuff. So they're really, you know, they're cooking with fire right now. And they just keep adding layers to stories. And it's really inspiring and beautiful to watch kind of some of the stuff that they are coming up with. And, you know, even for people like us who've been doing this for 10 years now, pretty much, when you can keep people like us guessing, and they are. And, you know, we're getting a lot of stuff right, sure, because we can see things kind of coming together. But I'd say, you know, between me, you, DP, AJ, DJ, guys like that,
Greg,
they're keeping us on our toes. Greg, they're keeping us on our toes quite a bit.
This was chalky, but it was a good chalky, I think.
It was satisfyingly chalky. It's like it was predictable, but it was the stuff you were hoping that was going to happen. Because, you know, you hope things happen and it usually doesn't go that way. They do something different. But like everything you were kind of hoping happened and in a very satisfying way. So I'm like, all right, that's cool with me.
The same thing happened for me on the Game of Thrones finale, Dave. But you'll have to tune into Bandwagon Nerds this Monday to find out more about that. AJ, how did you like CM Punk?
How are we going to get Patrick to talk about House of the Dragon?
It's fucking
again.
Good. What you watching? What's at the end?
Oh,
why do you,
boy.
Why do you think I had him? Why do you think I lobbied for him to put that in segment at the end of the show? That was my idea.
We were working on that for a while.
Anyway, as for the wrestling, the Drew CM Punk match with Seth Rollins as the referee, I love the match. Like you said, Dave, they made a 50-cent toy bracelet that you'll find on most 10-year-old girls to mean something as a focal point for this match. And it was heavily used where it was Punk had the Anaconda Vice on Drew and he noticed, it's like, oh, there's the bracelet. Let me grab that bracelet. And then Seth, I forget how he got it off the top of my head, but at some point he did get it where he was just like, I'm going to hold on to this for you. Just relax.
Yeah, didn't Punk have it in his hand and Drew Claymored him and it ended up on the mat and then Seth kind of like
something
took
to that
it,
effect.
Something like that, yeah.
But this match was so damn good where, like you said, we were expecting this type of shit. We were expecting Seth to just kind of turn a blind eye or just not give a fuck about the match, which happened perfectly. I don't know if anyone else caught it or not, but let's see. You got the the dark-haired, long, ominous, brooding person in a black trench coat coming out. You have CM Punk in his black and pink gear, and you have the flamboyant. Pretty sure we've seen this about 27 years ago in 97 in the main event. It, like, they even made a callback where the chair was going to get swung, got stopped before it hit Rollins, and just, like, threw it away, like, nah, I'm not going to do that, forget that. Or, no, sorry, it was going to get hit on Punk. Rollins had the chair. And it was just perfectly done where it had the nodes of the 97 SummerSlam with Bret and Shawn and Undertaker. But this was perfect, especially since, you know, Punk GTS Rollins so he can grab the bracelet again, and then, you know, good old Drew McIntyre, and I don't know if it's just because I'm drinking
fucking
Scotch.
Drew.
Fucking Drew McIntyre, the Scottish psychopath.
Well, like you were talking about the callback to 97. Even the three count that Seth delivers is very similar to what Shawn. Like one,
very
two, and he hesitates for just a moment and then goes with the three and he's pissed off and he rolls out of there. So it was totally a lot of throwback and homage to that 97 match. So beautiful.
And you talked about the lot of us together having a pretty good grasp on what's going on. And that's not such a bad thing. But, you know, even more so, Dave, for you and me and DJ, we're not just following the product currently. We are currently deep diving back into the history of the WWE. So you learn from history, folks. Believe it or not, it's why it's taught in schools. Because there's a lot of things you can learn from the past. And check out the Big Five Project, baby. That's all I can say.
That's right. Exactly. I mean, yeah, we haven't got to the really good stuff yet, but we're getting there.
We're getting there.
We're getting there, especially.
I mean, we
since
had some of the really good stuff, but.
Especially since I claymored that Punk's ass and I have his wife and dog around my waist one more time.
Okay.
I just love hearing AJ do Drew McIntyre. So, I mean, that's all I care about. And it's even better when he's drinking scotch.
It's just on brand, all right?
It is.
Just go grab a Johnny Walker and you'll be fine.
Johnny Walker? Come on now.
Let's
red
black
or black
label.
Red or black?
Black. Black. Come on. I can't stand red. God. $10 bottle of scotch. Fuck that.
I like blue.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Well, yeah, that's also like $350.
Get a job.
I do, motherfucker. You see me in the polo
I didn't mean there. You specifically. I just met anybody who complains that it's $300.
I did have it once.
No, I don't have a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue. But I imagine I would like it better. Dave doesn't believe me. Dave thinks
I'm
I
sure
definitely
you do.
Well, I think there's a gentleman who has the staunch stature of one Johnny Walker's strong kind of silhouette, and that's the man who is the new world heavyweight champion, a man who apparently now is no longer from Austria, but now Germany. They not only have changed his first name from Walter to Gunther, but they've changed him from Austrian to German. It doesn't matter. It's all Bavaria, Dave. How impressed were you with Gunther?
I don't know if the Austrians will agree with that sentiment, but nice try. Well,
during most of the early 20th century, it was.
except when the Nazis were oppressing everybody in Austria and Hungary and putting them in camps.
That was rude, yeah.
And before anyone insults anything, Dave is the Jewish one.
Yeah, thanks, Tony.
I podcast with the other Dave, Jewish Dave, too. Damn it, that was last night.
I'm sure he would be offended as well. No, I don't know how it...
He did make a comment, like a self-deprecating Jewish comment, and then in the next sentence, I found him making sure he mentioned that he was actually Jewish.
It's okay for us to, wipe ourselves out, but don't anybody else do it. God damn it. Gunther is now German, I guess. We were talking about this for a while that he was going to defend the title in Germany. And now you got Randall Keith Orton looking out there. And see, this is the other thing I was going to say. This is, they don't forget anything, right?
No,
in the
perfect.
Past, Vince would have forgotten about the bullshit finish in King of the Ring, right? Hunter didn't forget that.
Well,
he waited and then brings it back here for Randy to say, you really didn't beat me. And Gunther's like, you're right, I really didn't. And that really bothers me.
I'll take you one step further. He knew what he was doing when he did it and had the bad finish at King of the Ring because he knew Gunther was winning and was going to be his opponent in Bash in Berlin.
Yeah.
They knew.
Yeah, and they wrapped it up perfectly in a nice little
they
bow.
Knew.
It was like,
I'm
going
to go fuck around with this fake bloodline for a while, and I'm going to come back to you when it really matters the most.
Yeah. It was a bullshit finish. You want to say the ring is sacred. I think everyone should get Orton versus Gunther part two.
They are. But obviously the biggest part of the Gunther Priest match was the implosion of the Judgment Day. Finn Balor, turning on Priest and playing that out. That was a year in the making, apparently, because everything's cyclical with Hunter. The way he books things is cyclical. Nothing is forgotten. Nothing's ignored. Everything actually does matter. It may not matter the way you think it does, and it may not pay off when you think it should, but it's going to be there someday. And, a sideways glance, just something that seems innocuous and inconsequential, actually matters. And, this is what you saw it right here in this match with Finn saying, I waited a year to fuck you over, and here you go. And now the Judgment Day, as we know it, are no more. There's something else. I don't know what Rhea and Priest faction is going to be called. Who cares? But,
I don't think there's going to be a Rhea and Priest faction. I think they're just going to be acquaintances, like semi-allies. Like they showed you.
Friends with benefits? Is that what you're saying?
We can talk about Raw because I don't think we're really going to get into a full segment on it just because we've been having a good time with this and we still got to do trivia. But they showed you the new Judgment Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing missing were the chicken tendies, right, AJ? That was the only thing.
Apparently, yeah.
Do you think Edge would be proud today of the Judgment
Day? I definitely.
In case you haven't forgot,
I think he would.
In case you haven't
I think he
forgot, he was the founder.
He was the founder. I think he would look at. I think if you went to Adam and said,
"Oh, he'd love it.
Hey, what do you do you think of where this has gone?" He'd be like, "It's better than I thought it was ever going to be." And he's a big part of that.
He readily admitted and kind of said right away that the smartest thing they did was get rid of him really quick because it didn't fit and it's what they needed.
Yeah. Without a doubt. I mean,
they didn't need like old veteran guy anchoring this thing. They needed the, you know, set it up, turn on him, let the young guys run, and they ran. Perfect. And they're still running.
Yeah
100%. Remember, I mean, I remember at least on this show we all thought it was going to be dead in the water within like 3-4 months. It's still going on for majority
not believe it was going to be dead in the water.
Majority look, of us.
You want the best example of Vince booking audio. Versus Hunter? You want the best example of Vince booking versus Hunter? Judgment Day. They were dead, like AJ said, dead in the water when Vince was in charge. On the brink of collapsing and being relegated to irrelevance. Hunter takes over. Now look at this shit.
At least from what Edge, Adam Copeland, said, it seemed like they wanted to go into a supernatural route with the Judgment Day. And, you know, we don't have that supernatural route. We have... You know, Damian Priest, Senior Money in the Bank, El Champion, all that stuff. Rhea dominant as ever. Finn turning Dom against Rey and everything. Like, it worked perfectly. And now with this match, like, it was a great match. Don't get me wrong. And anyone who says Gunther is boring, go watch fucking wrestling. Actual wrestling, not flippy-dippy bullshit that gives you 7 stars at a Tokyo Dome. Where he's actually wrestling, he's actually making it credible. He won with a goddamn sleeper hold, for crying out loud. And it was all because Finn came out and made sure that Gunther's leg was on the ropes for a rope break. And this is the long time storytelling where it was what Finn said. Judgment Day is not supposed to have any leaders. And as soon as you became Senior Money in the Bank... You immediately called yourself a fucking leader.
Before you go, can I say one thing? What I love about Gunther matches is if you get in the ring with him, you need to be prepared for the most physical match of your life. Because nobody who goes in the ring with Gunther leaves unscathed. And neither does Gunther, right? Neither does Gunther.
He bled first from an overhead chop.
You know, everybody goes on and on, all these AEW morons about, oh, Suzuki this and blah, 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 and all these machine gun shots. I want to see Suzuki get in there with Gunther, and that will be the end of him, because he will not survive that fucking match.
So I have the name for Gunther's finish.
Which one?
Well, what is it? This seems
the
to
power
be
a bomb
into?
Sleeper?
Okay.
I mean, that's one of them.
Get ready to go to sleep, folks, because it looks like Gunther's turning on PBS.
Powerbomb sleeper? God damn it.
Boo.
Oh, fuck you guys. That was for the intelligent PBS crowd.
If
you listen to NPR, you like that joke.
If he's German, you should just call the... If he's German now, just call it the Hindenburg. Because once he hits it, you're going down.
Wow.
You're going down. Once he hits it, you're going down.
Do you know... the United States wouldn't sell Germany helium to fly the Hindenburg. Did you know that?
Really?
Yeah, that's why it blew up, because they used...
It was German helium?
No, they didn't use helium. They used...
Either gasoline or kerosene,
something like that. No, they used a flammable gas, a more flammable... The helium's the less flammable gas. I forget what it was. But anyway, I was listening to radio today.
That sounds like...
I guess
like
I was
German
listening
shit.
To NPR. I want Gunther to lose this fucking title the very first fucking defense at Bash in Berlin.
Why? I know, I'm curious as to why. Because like,
he just held the IC title for 600 fucking days and no one would see it coming. Why can't him and Priest have another match the next pay-per-view and win it back? When's the last time they did that?
I will tell you exactly why. You want to know why? Because they want Gunther versus Brock in Vegas for that World Heavyweight Championship.
Oh, God, you're crazy.
It's going to happen.
You are so crazy.
They're I mean, that would be nice. Don't get me wrong. Mark this tape down.
Oh, well, we won't forget that you said it. I've already been on record on a couple of different shows saying Brock Lesnar will never be back on WWE television ever again. Ever. They don't need him. They just don't.
They don't, but it's still a damn good match to see,
though. It's
not
a question of need. It's a question of want. Yes, they don't need him. Do they want this match? Absolutely.
Well,
it's a match we're supposed to have this year before all this stupid shit.
Did they want this match? Oh, no, I think we lost my pen. Well, you guys are going to have to keep going on the show. No, I found it. It's over here. Okay, we're good. Thank God.
Okay, thank goodness.
That could have been bad. Could have been problems. All right, let's keep it rolling here. One more match to talk about. Cody Rhodes versus Solo Sikoa, and more importantly, the return of the obviously omnipotent only and original Tribal Chief.
I like only
O-Face, O-Face Chief.
Oh,
Riley Auto Parts. How?
It's a jump to conclusions, Matt. You get it?
I still remember Ember Moon's finishing move, the O-Face.
That was the name of it originally before it became the Eclipse.
The Eclipse,
yes.
Yeah.
So this was a fun match. This was the feelings of a WrestleMania match with all the extras and everything else going on. And why not? Because it's a Bloodline and it's Cody and it's SummerSlam, the second biggest show of the year. And sure enough, Dave, I tried to get you to 100% commit to Roman coming back and you just wouldn't do it. But you have correctly predicted Roman Reigns coming back 1.6 times.
Thank you. I'll take it, man. 60% of the time, I'll take it every time.
Sex Panther.
I am the Sex Panther of prognosticating, AJ. There you go.
Lawyer
there
Panther.
There you go. Yeah. Sidebar.
Like we said, it was chalk, and it was satisfying chalk. This was like the most predictable thing they could do was have Roman come back here. But you're trying to talk yourself, well, would it be that obvious? Yes, it's that obvious, and here he is. And you know, what are you going to say? I mean, we thought that the pop he would get would be tremendous, and it was. When he does the spear and the ooh-ah and the whole fucking Brown Stadium saying that with him for the first time that's ever happened, you felt that shit.
57,000 plus people there. They're getting another SummerSlam, a two-nighter. They're going to.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, I mean, you can't do WrestleMania there because Cleveland in April, right. You know, might be a problem. But, yeah, I could definitely see SummerSlam for sure. They earned it. That crowd was white hot. They were fantastic the whole time. They were into it. You know, Roman could not have gotten a better reaction. And, I mean, we've seen all the people talk about it. Vince spent 10 years trying to get Roman to this point, could never do it. Hunter got him there in a year, but it came organically because there was a great story and nothing was forced. And, you know, everything that they did with the Bloodline and it's just, it has been a brilliant story being told.
Let's not, and I'm speaking specifically as far as wrestling storytelling goes. I'm not talking about any of the other crap. Let's not include Vince on the credit he deserves for the entirety of everything we've seen in the Bloodline storyline because he started it. Now, Hunter's been there,
yeah.
Right? Like, I know that. It's not just him, but he was in control when this started, and if we want to give Hunter as much credit for being in control for what's going on now, we can't. I agree, it's gotten better, and other things have been, I think the biggest thing with him leaving is the number of outside possibilities for WWE opened up tremendously with things that would never have happened if Vince was there because he wouldn't do it or other people were not in on WWE. So I'll give you that. But at the same time, that's one little thing I would just want to say, though.
I'll play devil's advocate with myself. If Vince doesn't try to force Roman down our throats and make us feel a certain way about him, this doesn't work. You know, this does not come full circle this dramatically. But for Vince, the way Vince booked Roman, making everybody hate him so much, so that when he actually does achieve kind of what Vince wanted all along, it's a much bigger moment. But this is not Big Dog Roman Reigns. This is Tribal Chief Roman Reigns. They are entirely different characters, even though it's the same guy.
I would say it's not even Tribal Chief anymore. It's original Tribal Chief. Like, it's a level up right. a little bit again, you know?
We don't and get, I think I was worried about how he was going to be portrayed as a babyface, but he's come back as the same dude, you know, and him and Cody, that third match is...
I argued Roman wasn't a fucking heel the entire time almost. He just let power go to his head, and you know what? Look what happened to the family afterwards. So we'll see. It should be interesting. And I said we're going to see Roman well before we see Paulie, but I want to see when he gets the band back together. We got to get moving on it. We're doing Civil War Games. That phrase has been said on WWE television by Big E, AJ.
Yeah, I was about to say Big E did spoil that where he was like, "It's Bloodline Civil War."
I would say open the door, put his foot in the door for it. You know, hey, even if we're not doing it, this is what I hear too.
If it works, it works. I'm not gonna deny that because I would love to see a War Games match where it's Solo's Bloodline versus Roman's Bloodline.
Do we ever see Big E?
Get it?
Do we ever see Big E on the announced team?
Oh, on the announced team,
maybe. He is exciting. Yeah, I could definitely see him on the announce team or even backstage.
It doesn't look like he's ever going to be able to get back in the ring, unfortunately. You look at Odyssey Jones this week, and when I look at Odyssey Jones and I watch Xavier's reaction, Kofi's excited. Xavier not so much because I think he's thinking, you're trying to replace Big E. You're trying to bring in some muscle to this group. I'm not feeling this whole thing, but that's what it felt like, that they're bringing Odyssey Jones in to fill that Big E role.
I did want to talk about that. I'm glad you brought that up.
And Xavier was
God,
like,
does he look good, though, Odyssey Jones?
Oh, the number of... I love this shit. The number of views he got, more than Will Ospreay, more than Mercedes Moné, more than Kazuchika Okada.
Yeah, we're making a lot of those comparisons this week, but folks... It's not really a comparison, okay? It's apples and oranges. It's just us bringing that up because it's kind of on the forefront of the social media thing going on. But the other thing I wanted to get to, I'm glad you brought that up, Odyssey Jones. He looked great. Can't wait to see. And I think you mentioned a really good storyline that they're going to do bringing him in there with the New Day. So, because he's got to earn it.
He does. He definitely does. Especially
Wyatt's respect.
The Wyatt Six had a fucking match. Holy shit, they did something. Something happened. Something is the first fucking step they've taken. Like, you've been crawling. Finally... They were born. We were parents. They like, goo-goo gaga. They look around. They move their head. But they wouldn't fucking walk yet. And they finally took a first fucking step. I'm so proud.
Yeah, and they had the six-man tag match against Chad Gable and the Creed brothers. And...
Did you see the social media meme where people who have no idea, people who haven't watched wrestling in 20 years are wondering why the Penn State wrestling team is facing Slipknot in the main event of Raw? Oh, God, that was hilarious.
I did see that meme, but, I mean, it's nice to see that the Wyatt Six are actually doing something other than just terrorizing Gable's life.
Dude, like, Dexter Lumis looks nothing. I mean, talk about a transformation. It's like,
oh yeah, he
Dexter
grew
Lumis?
Out his hair. He looks impressive.
Oh,
like, what the hell is this?
He's got extensions in.
Yeah, I told my wife, like, I said, yeah, this one guy's name is Joe Gacy. She goes, Gacy, really? That's the name that they use with this dude? I'm like,
yeah. But I mean, Dexter Lumis. I think the best thing that I ever saw with, and this was on some form of social media. I don't remember if it was Twix or Facebook or something, but it was someone said Dexter Lumis looks like a combination of Kevin Sullivan and Raven, and I can't unsee it, and I appreciate it so much. Especially with like the X on his forehead. He's got like the dreadlocks. It's probably an extension, like you said, Tony, but
Kevin Sullivan is a tiny little man.
He is. Yeah. That's not the point. But he looks the part. He looks the ominous part in everything else. To which he looks impressive. He looks threatening. Joe Gacy. I was never big on Joe Gacy, but he does what he has to do, and it works.
I love you, Kev. I'm sorry. I've met him a bunch of times. He's a good guy.
But the fact that the Wyatt Six actually had a match and not just like, we're going to ambush you for the sake of ambushing you. Yeah, I appreciate that a lot because I like a story. I like the slow burn, but I'm not the biggest fan of a slow burn lasting like 3 months.
Yeah, we've talked about that before too. So.
Yeah, but going back to what we were talking about before, Cody Rhodes and Solo, that match didn't just have a callback to like everyone jumping in to help Cody against the Bloodline and everything else. That also had a callback to every single other match that Cody had, like the Steps segment that was very much reminiscent to him versus AJ.
TheChairShot.com.
That was
always.
That was an accident, sorry.
Thanks,
trying to tell
Platt.
Us it's time for a commercial.
Well, it is. So it is, but finish your thought. I was accident. I was trying to get to the thing. Go ahead, finish your thought.
Good.
We're running short on time, like, so we got to get moving.
But we had AJ versus Cody, like a reminiscent thing with the steel steps and everything else. And the thing says OTC. I like to think that it says only Tribal Chief, not original Tribal Chief.
It's original.
Because
it's original.
I'm not the biggest fan of if it's the only Tribal Chief
there's no
kind
if.
Of rubs a...
There's no if. It's
you know,
original.
You want to know what it stands for? Only Tunney's Chief.
No, that's not true either. It's original.
Only Tunney's
I promise
Chief?
You. Okay, we're going to commercial. DWI 443, we'll be right back with trivia.
You, that.
This
oh,
is your boy,
only
King Killer,
Tunney's
telling you to make sure you check out TheChairShot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Screw you guys.
Sorry, Chris.
All right, you know what time it is. Phenomenal Funky Facts, the trivia show, everything else than that fun stuff. Tunney begged and pleaded me not to have another list.
No. I told you not to because we wouldn't have had trivia then.
Yes, yeah, so Tunney begged and
you
pleaded
you brought it
not
up.
To have another
you
list.
You brought it up. I wasn't going to say anything, so if people think I'm being an ass right now, he brought it up.
No, I'm entirely being the ass in this one, but it's not the list. But it's another thing that we try to do other than just normal trivia. It's the accomplishment list where I'm going to say two accomplishments that a wrestler had. You got to guess what it is. Another two. Try to guess what it is after that. And then one last very obvious accomplishment that person had to try to get you the point. So the first two is worth 3 points. The second two is worth 2 points, and then the final one, the obvious quote-unquote one, will be worth 1 point.
You get it, Dave? It's kind of like incremental name that tune.
Kind of.
Yes, I'll take anal bum cover for 400 points.
The rapist.
It's album cover. Thanks, Sean Connery.
That's not my name.
Catch All the right. semen for 200, please.
I'll take the Rippish for 400.
All right, let's get back therapist. To this trivia show. You sons of bucks. You guys are having too much fun today.
Just a little bit. I'll pick the first one that we do. So here's what we have for the first two accomplishments. One-time WWE Tag Team Champion. Four-time WCW Tag Team Champion.
Wait, so, one time WWF Tag Team Champion, four-time WCW Tag Team Champion?
Correct. Let's see what you guys have as the answers.
I gotta write mine down here.
And I'll say if someone's correct or not. Make sure that we don't see the answer to try to cheat here.
Okay, I got it. You good, Dave?
I think so.
All right.
Let's do the answers. So Tunney says Jeff Jarrett. Dave says the Road Warriors. So I'll safely say now that both of you are incorrect.
It's one person, Dave.
Only one person?
It is one person, yes.
So you wasted your first guess.
So the next two accomplishments, one-time WWE European champion, three-time WCW World Heavyweight Champion.
Wow.
So they're a one-time WWE Tag Team Champion, four-time WCW Tag Team Champion, one-time European Champion, three-time WCW World Champion.
That European rules that out. Oh, man, I should be using the Jeopardy theme here. Oh, I'm thinking too hard. I know what this is. I think. No, that's not right either. Oh, no, that. No, that's not right. Never mind. Damn it, I don't know. I don't know.
All right, Dave, you got your guess?
I don't have a guess this time. Suck it, Trebek. We need the obvious. We need the obvious one.
Hey, Tony, do you have a guess?
No, I don't. My guess was wrong because I had a weird thought and I was like, no, that's not right. So go ahead.
Okay,
give
so
us the obvious
so the final accomplishment that they have is they are a Hall of Famer in the class of 2017.
Oh, maybe it
along
is.
Along with all of those other accomplishments in WCW and WWE.
Fuck if I know. I got some sort of guess here.
I'm sorry, I got cursed out for doing a list last time, so.
All right. We're not doing lists anymore. I got nothing. I don't have it.
I got something. I don't know if it's
what
right.
What do you got, Dave? Vader. No, it is not Vader.
Is it Scott Steiner?
It's not Scott Steiner. It's him. It's a person that we're missing, but one letter off. It's DDP.
He was European champion?
He won the European champion once in 2002.
I thought all he did was terrorize Undertaker's wife.
No, he had a couple other. Good one. All right. Well, we lose on that one. That sucked.
All right, Dave, I'll let you pick number one or number two.
Well, Alex, I'll take what I did in the toilet this morning, number two.
I dropped a deuce on your mother this morning. I'll drop a deuce on you now.
I appreciated the fact that you did not call me the deuce, so we will do this then. One-time TNA World Heavyweight Champion, one-time NWA Tag Team Champion. First one's supposed to be difficult. I'm letting you know that now. It's supposed to be difficult for the first one.
Yeah, with those kind of clues, I don't fucking know.
Honey says Abyss. Dave, you don't have a guess at all?
That's not a bad guess.
It's not a bad guess, but when you figure there's two more questions, it's a bad guess.
Well, I only can go with the... Damn it, Dave. All right, what's next?
Dave, you don't have any answers
on this
one?
I'll go with Tunny. I'll repeat what Tunny said. Why not? Just because he's my bestie.
Oh.
It is not Abyss. So the next ones that you get is a one-time TNA Tag Team Champion... one-time WWE United States champion. So an NWA and a TNA Tag Team Champion, a TNA World Champion, and a United States champion.
Oh, I don't know. I hate TNA.
I'm going to guess PC Tunney.
Guessing PC.
This is almost worse than a list because you're not doing all WWE. You realize what we cover on this show, right?
That's why I made the WWE ones the second one to make it easy.
Crack ya. I got nothing.
All right, so the final one to try to at least get 1 point.
Yeah. Oof. Be like
one-time
right
TNA
now.
Champion, one-time TNA Tag Team Champion, one-time NWA Tag Team Champion.
Sure.
One-time United States Champion, and one-time Million Dollar Champion. Tony seems pissed off. What does it say? TBD JR? Is that what you put down?
What does that say? Who is that? Ted DiBiase Jr. is wrong.
Ted DiBiase
obviously, because if it's right, you'd have figured that out. It's
and
LA Knight.
Dave
yeah.
said the correct answer of LA Knight. Yeah.
I didn't have a soundbite, so I got to let him win a trivia today. All right, we got one left.
One person.
We got one left. We got one left.
All right.
If I can get it, if I can get the 3 or 2 point question and Dave doesn't, then I can still win.
Correct.
All right. Okay, so, that's 3 points. Yeah, that was great. No,
how many
okay.
points do I have now? One.
One. One.
You have 1 point. You
seems
have
like
one measly
seems
point.
Like a fucking million to me, Dave.
Five-time WWE champion. I'm going to specify that one of those is a World Heavyweight Championship. And a six-time TNA champion. So a five-time WWE, one of them is a World Heavyweight, and a six-time TNA World Heavyweight Champion.
That's pretty obvious. That's right.
I know what Tony put down. But you both put down the correct answer. It's Kurt Angle.
I put down the right angle.
I know what you put down with the 90 degree. I got the bad joke.
It's Tony
Math. You still lost.
It's Tony Math. Fuck you, Dave. You son of a bitch. Thanks for showing up today, though. I really do appreciate it.
Sure you did.
By
the
AJ.
Way, the obvious 1 point question, if you couldn't get it off of that, was Olympic gold medalist. Because we're looking at the Olympics right
you're,
now. Something about milk.
That clue you gave first should have been the second one.
It probably should have.
Yeah.
I just had it. I wrote down the list, and I'm like, maybe I might throw them off with a TNA, but no, I didn't.
I liked that I got the draw right angle though. So yeah, winners today on trivia: Dave and AJ.
I'll take it.
I'll take it. I need the win.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
All right, everybody, thanks for tuning in. We are now heading down the highway away from SummerSlam that led to SummerSlam on the highway to hell, and we're about to turn down that county road to Royal Rumble, and that leads us to the immense road to WrestleMania. Dave, thanks for jumping on today with DP out on assignment. I
that
really
like
appreciate
Steiner
it.
Steiner math or something? I mean, there's a few events in between here
are,
in Royal Rumble. I'm just throwing that out.
Well, you see, you got a 66 2/3% chance of getting to Survivor Series. So if you take that 25% chance, minus it by the 33% chance of winning, you get an 8 2/3 chance of winning at Bash
Multiply
Berlin.
Multiply it by pi and divide it by the longitudinal tilt of the Earth, and
you
get
take,
the Royal Rumble. Yes.
But if you take the 75% chances plus the 66 2/3% chance, that's a 1-41 and 2/3 chance at winning at the Royal Rumble.
Like I said, folks, we're on our way out here. Dave.
Tunney's eyes just crossed. He's like, wait,
Dave, tell everybody what you got going on. And once again, thanks for hopping on today.
Oh, absolutely. You can check me out at Attitude Ag on the platform, Elon's platform. And of course, check out the show at Attitude of Regression Wrestling Podcast and the Big Five Project coming back soon, hopefully, as soon as we can get DPP back in here to watch WrestleMania 10. Yes.
If I had to venture a date for that, Dave, I would say maybe the 20th or the 22nd of August.
All right. Wow, that's a ways out there.
Well, next Friday would be the first time we record again.
Ah.
I was about to say, it's 2 weeks.
Yeah. Facebook.com/AttitudeOfRegression and at Attitude of Regression, all one word. Instagram threads. And remember to send your hate tweets if we pissed you off today to @WrestlingRealist.
Oh, wow.
That is.
I'm not going to say what I usually say. I don't want to. I'm not dealing with that. Just not. But if you haven't listened to all of the Big Five Project episodes already, you can listen to any review of any pay-per-view from WrestleMania 1 all the way up through Royal Rumble 94. So there's plenty of great evergreen content from the Attitude of Aggression podcast out there.
Forget Ernest Borgnine's penis. God, I mean, where else are you going to hear that?
I could never forget, Dave. AJ, how about you?
You can find me if you're positively going through. I don't want to think about that. I'm going to try to trudge through this bullshit.
Not. Okay, accept it.
Yeah, get that out of your brain, AJ. Good luck.
It's almost as bad as William Dafoe.
If I didn't have a name already for the show, I would put Accepting Ernest Borgnine's Penis as the title.
God, no. But you can find me at Elon Musk Cesspool, at Phenomenal AJB, AJB in all caps. Not forget, we're not just podcast galore, we are articles galore, sports entertainment, you name it. We got it at thechairshot.com. And for whatever reason, if I pissed you off during this show, my actual Twitter account is IWC Warchief, IWC in caps.
Oh, yes, exactly. That's right.
Biscuit. I wish you would have let me know you're going to do something like that.
If you send hate tweets make sure you challenge
his
manhood.
All the time.
No, you can't really butt chug blue cheese. You know, the alliteration's nice, but it don't work.
I blame you for that one, AJ. Follow DP, at It's Me DPP. He will be back next week for the DWI podcast. Until then, follow me at PC Tunney. Follow this show at Podcast DWI on X. Follow this show at DWI Podcast on Facebook. I'd never have to do this shit. DP, get your fucking ass back here, okay? This is crap. I'm tired of picking up all the heavy lifting.
Screw
at the
your
end
work
of the show.
Come back.
I don't know the handles to this motherfucking show. Who do you think I am? That's fucking ridiculous, all right? No, I'm kidding. Follow me at PC Tunney. Continue to listen to everything Chairshot Radio Network. And thank you to everybody that's been listening to The Oddity. Dave Wirtz and I appreciate it.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Marino has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Marino take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AskMePeople, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.